This is a Hope 103.2 podcast.
And the Oscar goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Can't move, I can't say.
Please be kind, especially when we don't know what's going on.
So what I got.
Movies are dreams that you never forget.
What a pleasure to be back for the Watchlist podcast. Myself, Laura Bennett. Hello, Russ.
Oh, it is so good to have you back. You look so nice, warm and toasty. And this is exciting. We're going to kind of go back into a franchise that's getting another reboot, and they're not monkeying around on this one.
Oh, yeah,
we're looking forward to it. I know. So the Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is here. So I'm excited about this one. I don't know. We didn't get to see this one together, so I can't wait to hear what you thought about this film. So do you want me to share about it? How about you? Would you like to share about it?
Well, I mean, you can set up the plot for us. I know this is a franchise close to your heart, Russ, because you've got the dad jokes about it.
Exactly. Oh, just because I'm hairy, I mean, I guess I qualify as definitely going through the Planet of the Apes, even though I did enjoy this movie, but I look forward to kind of talking about it. Now, this one's a new one. If you can believe, it has been 7 years since the last one. So War of the Planet of the Apes came out in 2017, and now we find ourselves 300 years into the future after the War of the Planet of the Apes, and ape civilizations have kind of established themselves supposedly around the world. And we come to kind of understand and see that Caesar has obviously passed away, but his descendants have actually kind of lived on in different manifestations, and his legend continues on, and many people kind of live under Caesar's rule in a way. So we're introduced to a great new character. His name's Noah, and he lives in the Eagle Clan of chimpanzees. But unfortunately, at one point, their whole clan gets kidnapped except for Noah, and he goes to try and find out where his clan has gone and try to save them. But in the process, he gets introduced to a young girl, a human girl, who actually can talk, and her name is May. And so we get to kind of find out how they work together on this harrowing journey to try and save Noah's family, but also potentially finding out what May is really up to.
And it's interesting with these movies, that's what they're all about. Like the way that humans can work with, in this case, the chimpanzee, the monkey population, but flipping that around on its head with the monkeys being the ones that have the intelligence and not the humans. In fact, it's humans' right. own intelligence that has kind of got them into a sort of post-apocalyptic pickle in some respects.
Wow, there you go. That's quite an alliteration there. So you're post-apocalyptic pickle, and then apes still are strong, and also the eagles have landed in this one because it's a fascinating one. But also, I found some direct biblical content that I can't wait to kind of nut out in this whole discussion. But I'm curious about it. One, did you like it? But two, are you a fan? Are you a true apes fan of this whole franchise?
Look, the Planet of the Apes franchise isn't one that I would ever particularly rave about. I find it like it's not my immediate go-to. Even in seeing this movie, I wasn't hanging out ready to watch it because I do find it a little bit strange, even sitting there watching this, that we get so invested in the stories of these apes. Right. But then also the way, I mean, they are humanized, you know, you've got actors playing these different characters. So the way that they're able to, from a filmmaking point of view, capture that human emotion, you know, in the faces and in the expressions of these characters, I always find that totally fascinating. But there were a few moments in the movie that I thought, why am I so invested in the story of apes? Like that there is this kind of connection that they have. So I respect that about this franchise, but I'm also with you that this time around, there was this overarching message within it that was kind of bigger than the concept of we live in a world run by apes. It was because given that they've made this movie so far after the last one, there had to be a reason to make it. There had to be a point for them to say, we want to return to this kind of story. So what did you see standing out about that? Like, why do you think they came back to the story of Caesar and his descendants?
Well, I found it fascinating. I really enjoyed this. I actually like this as a reboot. Yeah, there were some elements that maybe they could have kind of handled a little bit better. Maybe it didn't need to be as long. But I really felt like the writer was literally sitting there with the Bible, like next to his script, as it were, his computer as he's writing, because there's so many. There's Caesar, who's kind of a savior figure, but he's been dead for now like close to 300 years. So there's been multiple generations that have gone on. They've kind of lost the message, which it's kind of been kind of changed in so many different ways of what the message was originally. And so when they finally find the real message and even the symbol that kind of goes along with who this Caesar character was and what he represents, it all of a sudden there's a new kind of Messiah-like figure in this Noah character. I love the fact that he's named Noah. And there's even a flood scene. I won't give it away, but boy, there's even a flood scene in this whole thing that I find fascinating that they were able to kind of go on the nose in relationship to that. But I really love this Raka character. He's the orangutan who's the wisdom of the whole thing. He was funny, but also wise, but he's also the one that's kind of holding true to the true story of Caesar. And so I felt that this one kind of made that biblical jump for me. I'm sitting there with my friend kind of elbowing and going, are you seeing this? It's like, It's just so many things. Now, did it make it better? I don't know. I think that it just kind of shows the fact that there's nothing new under the sun in this, in the sense that there is great storylines that are kind of taken from. But I think that they gave it a refreshing twist. But I would have to say, kind of going to some of your points, why we're cheering for apes when you really, aren't we supposed to be cheering for the humans at this point? But yet the CGI was incredible. I mean, there were a few scenes where you kind of go, oh yeah, I can pick it out that this is animated.
Yeah.
But the majority of it, I'm like going, wow, these look like real creatures. I mean, these look like real apes, real primates, real gorillas kind of going through. And then also to kind of put it through the lens of the fact that it's supposed to be kind of in Western United States. This thing is happening. They actually filmed this right here in Sydney or here in Australia itself. So it's kind of fun just to kind of try and figure that out too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What did you see? What were some things that you kind of picked up?
Well, when you bring up the kind of biblical overlap, to me, that is part of what gave this movie a point in terms of why have you made this? What is the story that you're trying to tell? The difficulty for me is that the previous Planet of the Apes movies are a while ago, and they do a little bit of a sort of overview at the beginning again. Like they explain the fact that there was this man-made virus that has taken the intelligence of humans, but it's made the apes really smart and intelligent, etc. Like they sort of set up the framework of how we've arrived at this point. But in terms of the fact that Caesar is meant to be the sort of savior figure and that it's meant to be his teachings that have become a little bit warped, I kind of found myself going, what was Caesar's mission again? Like what was his big teaching that we're supposed to see that they've kind of forgotten? So I feel like that was a little bit unfortunate because the backbone of who Caesar is meant to frame what these characters are doing. And you kind of work it out as you go because it seemed like, you know, the main kind of point is that in this instance, they're representing unity through apes and humans, but there's this big thing about we can work together and that there's meant to be this like purity of intention, this drive towards compassion, this drive toward mercy and all of that kind of stuff. And then I thought it was really sort of relevant in a modern context where you've got this, the sort of baddie character, Proximus Caesar. He has decided to set up a community of sorts where he's declaring himself as the new savior figure, as the kind of mouthpiece of Caesar, and yet he's warped the teaching. He's warped it for his own benefit. He's warped it so that he can kind of have his own, you know, army of followers, I suppose. And I thought that's really interesting because if we're wanting to look at this through a Christian point of view, there are so many people, unfortunately, and groups that use the teachings of the Bible, that use the life of Jesus for their own gain, you know, to kind of elevate their own sense of power and relevance and all of this sort of stuff. And you do have to make sure you're asking yourself, is this the true intention of Jesus' teaching? You know, are we going back to actually what Jesus was saying and wanting from what he taught? And I don't think his goal was individual power. No. Like I don't think Jesus' goal was for any of us to feel like we are elevated above anybody else and to try to, you know, use that for our own means. And so that felt really powerful. And I'm also with you as well on the, it's so obvious. You can't call a character Noah and have a flood and have, you know, systems wiped out that seem to be getting a little bit out of control and not go, hey, this sort of relates to the Bible.
This seems really familiar.
Yeah, and look, there's going to be entire audiences that have no understanding or connection with the Christian narrative, biblical narratives in any way, shape, or form. But I do think all of us, no matter what faith background we come from, can resonate with that idea of power getting out of control, something's got to be done about it. How do you reset society when it seems like power is being misused, misappropriated, and where people are being mistreated because of it?
Exactly.
And that for me is why this movie was particularly relevant and particularly powerful, and it explains why they decided to make it.
Yeah. Oh, I think that, I mean, I felt like going in, I was kind of skeptical. Cash grab. They're just kind of going that I just want to get another film out of this whole thing. But once I kind of got into it, and once you kind of get past the fact that, well, this is just pretty much a film about the apes and their story. There is a human element, but it's primarily about the apes. I was in there because they really did a good job of really kind of bringing together these fascinating components that are familiar, probably especially to those with the Christian narrative, but yet within that, it still made for a really great story. And I really liked a lot of the characters themselves.
Hey, it's Ben from Hope Mornings.
And Laura from Hope Afternoons.
The Chosen series is back for season 4.
And you can join us on our Following the Chosen podcast as we break down every episode.
From tackling scripture in a new way to humanizing the disciples and Jesus.
We unpack what the Chosen phenomena has to offer.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and on the Hope 103.2 YouTube channel.
I guess that's one of the questions I would have for you too. Do you think that people would need to be kind of familiar with at least the recent trilogy to kind of understand and appreciate this new film?
Yeah, I think probably. Like you can get through this movie and feel like you've experienced something and take away a bit of meaning from it in its own right.
Right.
But I even found for myself, you know, I didn't refresh myself on the previous movies before I watched this one. Kind of just went in with what I could remember from watching them all those years ago. And I did find myself a little disconnected. So I think that if you really want to be fully engaged and totally understanding all of the little Easter eggs of sorts, even, because there were certain bits where I'm like, you're featuring that particular thing and you're following that particular conversation because of the way, no doubt, it connects to previous films, just the way they lingered on certain things and would feature certain elements. And I thought that's going to be going over the head of people like myself who don't remember the details entirely of these previous movies. So yes, you will have had to see the other ones to really appreciate it. But look, if someone invites you to go watch this movie and you've seen none of them, you'll still get a decent enough experience out of it.
Yeah, I think that's where it's kind of different than, say, like the most recent Ghostbusters, where I really think you would have had to have seen the previous films to appreciate this one. This one, I think you could come into it fresh and still get something and still be entertained by it. But there were even references to the first Planet of the Apes film back in 1968 that you could see throughout this film, that if you've kind of seen those films, which just so you know, I'm not necessarily saying go back and watch all those films, because some after the first one, the rest of that franchise was kind of junky and wasn't all that great. Don't watch the Tim Burton one. But the most recent one, those were really a great trilogy. I thought that they really lifted, especially with Dawn and also with War. But I think that this really is one that would be worthwhile seeing at least the Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and the War of the Planet of the Apes to really appreciate this film. But I still felt that it was good. I really thought that they did a great job. It's a new director, Wes Ball, who was from the Maze Runner franchise. And I think that he just did a really good job of kind of taking nuances of the original franchise, then this recent trilogy, and then also this really fascinating biblical connections, which I don't think he'd admit to, but it really made it a richer experience for me in the end. So,
and something else that I appreciated too, which was sort of subtle, was the way that, because, you know, as humans, we can become desensitized to part of the wonder of what we get to experience in life. Just these things that are really sort of fundamental to human experience, getting to appreciate the earth, nature, the stars, all of these sorts of things. There were a few moments where, like, the apes were getting an insight into the human world that was different from the tribal world that they lived in. And there was one scene especially where Noah is looking through a telescope and he's like, what is this contraption? What is it that I'm seeing? And it's like his eyes opened to the wonder of just the world around him and this thing that sort of seems so, like, it connected to existence, because it's like, this is you in a bigger sort of perspective. Like, the way that as humans we can get so stuck in the immediate, the stuff right in front of us. And then you go, my goodness, we actually exist in this massive universe of beauty and, you know, infinite kind of things that we don't fully grasp. And I know this is, it can sound very out there or whatever, but it was like, there were those moments in this movie that just made me go, yeah, when you look at what it means to exist and the way that we can interpret the world around us through fresh eyes, it just makes you remember and maybe realize how special it is, you know, to be here, to see the world, to live, all of this sort of thing. And I think this movie, even though it's not its core focus, it kind of touches on that too, just what it means to be human, what it means to see, to understand, to speak, to hear, to have community, all of that sort of stuff seemed a little bit of what they were wanting to feature in this film.
Yeah. Isn't it hilarious that a film about apes actually really kind of helps us to appreciate what it is to be human? And I think that's really what stands out about this film, because also even the greatness, because even over 300 years, they really didn't develop into much more than what they were 300 years prior. And they were primarily using a lot of the technology and a lot of things that were left over from the time when the humans actually had their power, their time of power on the earth. So that was really quite compelling. And I won't spoil it for people, but jumping off of what you were saying about the whole telescope scene, I think they really were able to make that even more of a reality with how they finished things, that this whole previous franchise really kind of happened on the West Coast of the United States. At least that's the way it felt to me. And so all of a sudden I felt like they just broadened it out to going, no, there's a whole world we're dealing with. And there's a lot more out there that we haven't really discovered or we've forgotten that it actually exists. And so that excited me. So that was probably the only, it's not a criticism. It's actually, it left me wanting. I want to see what the next step is. Yeah. Even though I'm with you, I'm not, this isn't like one of my favorite ones. I don't go out and put on ape masks and walk around going, woo-hoo, Planet of the Apes. I don't do that. But I think that the last franchise really was good. And I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with this as they kind of move forward.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they've invested in bringing it back all these years later says to me that they're hoping that it could go a little bit further. But so, Russ, as we land on this then, where would you put Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes? Is this on the watch list? Are you leaving it? What is your perspective?
Oh, I think for 2024, this is definitely on the watch list for me. So I think that this definitely is one of those films that would be worthwhile getting out to see. I think that, like Laura has said, it'd probably be worthwhile kind of getting in at least seeing one or two of the previous films to appreciate where this one's going. But I think this one really does stand alone and it is worthwhile. I think this would go on the watch list for me. How about you?
It's going on the watch list. I was surprised. I did not have high expectations going in. I thought, why are you making this? What are we doing? Is it going to be any good? I had all these questions. Right. I'll admit to it. I was a little bit skeptical. And then I was pleasantly surprised. I thought, okay, you've got some intention here. You're trying to talk about something that has modern relevance and ask bigger questions, you know, which does set it, I think sets it apart from some of the other movies out right now. And particularly in all of the streaming options and all of this sort of stuff, I don't think there's a lot of movies that are giving us conversation and perspectives on the subjects that this film in the Planet of the Apes franchise did. So it was kind of refreshing in that respect for me too. So I would put this on the watch list for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I concur. This really takes us to kind of deeper questions, which I find fascinating that we're doing with Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. But
yes,
it gets us there. It definitely gets us there. And I think that's what puts it on the watch list for me too.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. So let us know if you would watch this, if you have watched it. If you're listening, you can subscribe, review, comment wherever you are listening to this podcast. And of course, you can also watch on the Hope 1032 YouTube channel. Let us know your thoughts in the comments there as well. Until next time, enjoy the movies you're watching. Russ, thank you. Goodbye.
Hey, see you later, and go bananas. Go out and see this one. Wow.